Morning, boys. Do you have any prayer requests this morning?
So fearful that it's bad.
Okay. All right, let's pray. Dear the Father, we come for you this morning, and we just want to thank you for all your many blessings to us. We just thank you for all your goodness and mercy. I ask that you be with us this morning, be with those who couldn't make it because of sickness or other reasons. Bless and keep them. Help us to hear your words this morning and apply them to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we're in Matthew chapter 6. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. So that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So is it saying we shouldn't do good things right there? It says, beware of practicing righteousness before men. So is it saying we shouldn't do anything good to people? It says no, we should do good, but we should try to do it not for personal gratification or trying to make ourselves look good in front of other people. We should do it just to simply please God and do His will and try to help someone else, because that's what Jesus wants us to do, is help other people. It says lay down our lives and live for Him and for other people, sacrifice ourselves. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father, who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition, as the Gentiles do. For they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then in this way: Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. I was just thinking, you know, when you're praying, you know, people pray morning, before they eat, they pray when they get up in the morning, when they go to bed at night. And it's been several years ago, but I had asked Uncle David one time what vain repetitions mean, like praying, like what's vain repetition, just like saying the same prayer over and over again and just using the exact same words. I mean, it's partly that, but he told me that it was more the fact that say you pray right before you go to bed at night, and you pray, God, forgive me for what I did today. But then tomorrow, you know you're going to do exactly the same thing over again tomorrow. The same thing you did today. You did something wrong today, but you know tomorrow you're going to do the exact same thing, but you just pray for God to forgive you because you think God's just going to forgive you. And he said that's vain repetition because we shouldn't just expect to be forgiven. We should be grateful that we are forgiven and try to change. We pray to change ourselves, not just to pray to ask for forgiveness. It's a we we pray to better ourselves, not just to repeat the same thing, but we can just pray and just be forgiven. We shouldn't expect that. We should be grateful for the forgiveness that God gives us and try to change our lives instead of just praying about it and expecting that everything's going to be fine because we prayed about it. Whenever you fast, do not put on gloomy faces as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in nor steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. So here it's just talking about, you know, everything on this earth is going to fade away or be burned up in the end, or it just won't last. Nothing lasts in this world. So it's saying don't count on things in this world like money or anything. There's nothing here that's going to last. It's saying look to God and put your heart with God, not with all your stuff in this world. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So it's saying there we don't need to be worried about what we're going to eat or what we're going to drink, because God takes care of everything. And that's one of the harder things, I think, in life, is to actually think, put your trust in God. That seems to me that's one of the harder things to do. Because we look around us, and all around us the world's moving. I mean, people are doing this and doing that, eating here, drinking that, and just the everyday in and out cares of this life that we worry about. Well, it's going to be winter time. There's nothing growing right now, or very little. It's growing. It's all brown, and the trees they look like they're dead. We think, well, what are we going to eat? Well, we get worried and caught up in all this stuff, but we need to put our faith in God, and not just in the mere, clothes and food, but in every aspect of life. We tend to try to get caught up in this world and we forget that God is in control of everything. And we try to make everything look good for our life, or everything look good for us right now in this moment. But, I mean, in the end, God's still in control of everything. We sometimes tend to lose sight of that, of what He actually is to us, or what He should be to us. And it's like Uncle Dave was talking about here a couple weeks ago, you know, being diligent, you know, or negligence. It's kind of the same thing. We neglect our personal life, or our relationship with God, I guess you could say. We neglect that, get caught up in today's world of the things in this life. We're not diligent to strive to follow God like we should, put our faith in Him. So next week I was thinking I want you boys to find verses about diligence, being diligent, and memorizing. And then just memorize it. I mean, you might not have to memorize the whole verse if it's a long one or something, but just find verses about diligence, being diligent, how we should be diligent. And the older boys, I want you guys to find verses too about being diligent. But I also want you to memorize it, but you don't have to say the verse up front. But I want you to apply that to your life and tell us how you applied it to your life, or how you can apply it to your life, about being diligent. Or not neglecting, like it says in that verse, Hebrews 2, verse 3, it says, "How will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" I was just thinking about that last couple weeks. So just a verse about being diligent to not neglect the great salvation, or something like that. Just, that's it. You can say a verse.
We were supposed to get a verse in Matthew 5 that we need to work on, and I got 39. "But I say to you, do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also."
I got verse 41. If someone asks you to go 1 mile, forces you to go 1 mile, go with them too.
Matthew 5:39. "Whoever slapped you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. I'm praying this into practice by not praying with others."
I got verse 7. It says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." And I thought about, I need to, whenever my brothers and sisters do something that I don't think is good, just not get on them about it. Just be merciful about it.
I got verse 12. "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets which were before you." And I just am encouraged by that verse, that whatever we're going through, is the prophets have gone through it before us, and they went through it, so we can too.
Oh, Matthew 5, verse 6 says, "Blessed are you who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." That's a good verse for us, because we could just get kind of relaxing because we're so privileged to have a good church, and then but instead, like this verse says, we need to hunger and thirst for righteousness for ourselves.
Verse 9 says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." And that's a good thing to work on.
I got verse 5. "Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth." And it means if you get along with people and are gentle, when they do something to you, just be gentle. You will have a great reward.
Verses 41 and 42. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with them too. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. That's one thing that I have to work on, being generous and unselfish.
At Matthew 39. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person. Whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. I need to work on that.
And a couple verses here. 34. But I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair black or white. But let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond this is evil. Just need to quit saying so many slang words and just say what it is and just quit saying all that stuff.
I was thinking about the assignment, and I kind of spaced the fact that it's supposed to be just Matthew 5, so I got one in Matthew 6, but here it is. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And I was kind of thinking about that, and a neat thought occurred to me, that we all have our own interests and ambitions and things we want to do in life. And I thought of the fact that, well, it's God that provides food and clothing for us, but he also provides the knowledge and the wisdom to be able to carry out these things we want to do, like whether it's gardening or, you know, just any ambitions, or maybe marriage someday, and it's things that we worry about and we want to get right now. Oftentimes, and we want to do it our way, but I was thinking about how God gives those things, and they're gifts from God. And if we seek his kingdom first and trust in him, he'll give those things to us. He'll give us the desires, you know, whether they're, like I said, whatever occupations in life or whatever we're seeking. He'll give those things to us, and they'll be a blessing to us and the people around us.